The Baron Ritzner von Jung was a noble Hungarian family, every member of which, at least as far back into antiquity as any certain records extend, was more or less remarkable for talent of some description, the majority for that species of grotesquerie in conception of which Tieck, a scion of the house, has given a vivid, although by no means the most vivid, exemplifications. My acquaintance with Ritzner commenced at the magnificent Chateau Jung, into which a train of droll adventures, not to be made public, threw a place in his regard, and here, with somewhat more difficulty, a partial insight into his mental conformation. In later days this insight grew more clear, as the intimacy which had at first permitted it became more close, and when, after 3 years, of the character of the Baron Ritzner von Jung. I remember the buzz of curiosity which his advent excited within the college precincts on the night of the 25th of June. I remember still more distinctly that while he was pronounced by all parties at first sight the most remarkable man in the world, no person made any attempt at accounting for his opinion. That he was unique appeared so undeniable that it was deemed impertinent to inquire wherein the uniquity consisted. But letting this matter pass for the present, I will merely observe that from the first moment of his setting foot within the limits of the university, he began to exercise over the habits, manners, persons, purses, and propensities of the whole community which surrounded him, an influence the most extensive and despotic, yet at the same time the most indefinite and altogether unaccountable. Thus the brief period of his residence at the university forms an era in its annals, and is characterized by all classes of people appertaining to it or its dependencies as that very extraordinary epoch forming the domination of the Baron Ritzner von Jung, then of no particular age, by which I mean that it was impossible to form a guess respecting his age by any data personally afforded. He might have been 15 or 50, and was 21 years and 7 months. He was by no means a handsome man, perhaps the reverse. The contour of his face was somewhat angular and harsh. His forehead was lofty and very fair, his nose a snub, his eyes large, heavy, glassy and meaningless. About the mouth there was more to be observed. The lips were gently protruded, and rested the one upon the other after such a fashion that it is impossible to convey any, even the most complex, combination of human features, conveying so entirely and so singly the idea of unmitigated gravity, solemnity, and repose. It will be perceived, no doubt, from what I have already said, that the Baron was one of those human anomalies now and then to be found who make the science of mystification the study and the business of their lives. For this science, a peculiar turn of mind gave him instinctively the cue, while his physical appearance afforded him unusual facilities for carrying his prospects into effect. I quaintly termed the domination of the Baron Ritzner von Jung ever rightly entered into the mystery which overshadowed his character. I truly think that no person at the university, with the exception of myself, ever suspected him to be capable of a joke, verbal or practical. The old bulldog at the garden gate would sooner have been accused, the ghost of Heraclitus, or the wig of the emeritus professor of theology. This, too, when it was evident that the most egregious and unpardonable of all conceivable tricks, whimsicalities and buffooneries were brought about, if not directly by him, at least plainly through his intermediate agency or connivance. The beauty, if I may so call it, of his art mystifique, lay in that consummate ability, resulting from an almost intuitive knowledge of human nature and a most wonderful self-possession, by means of which he never failed to make it appear that the drolleries he was occupied in bringing to a point arose partly in spite and partly in consequence of the laudable efforts he was making for their prevention and for the preservation of the good order and dignity of Alma Mater. The deep, the poignant, the overwhelming mortification, which upon each such failure of his praiseworthy endeavours would suffuse every lineament of his countenance, left not the slightest room for doubt of his sincerity in the bosoms of even his most sceptical companions.